JG3.
Number 6A.
All right, so therefore we can see then that we have in science, we see that we also have that appealing to higher dimensions. We don't just stay stuck within our limited frame of reference. We have to appeal to something beyond just our schoolgirl, schoolboy mentality. We have to go out of the fact that all is mental, the mental can be good and evil, and begin to lift ourselves through culturing consciousness in the ideas of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, begin to identify with those synonymous terms until our structure of consciousness and the structure of reality become one and the same thing. And therefore, we can see, as Mrs. Eddy said, it's just a question of consciousness. Different states and stages of consciousness, and therefore we don't know what lies beyond just our limited frame of reference that we seem to be allowed to see today. She only has indicated, and we know that it is a fourth dimension of spirit, and that we know that everything within that fourth dimension is idea, and that she says that as we rise, we neither lose the objects of our identity, but we certainly take on diviner forms, indicating naturally that there are other dimensions beyond where we are. We know that. Where did Jesus go? He said, I'm in this world, but not of it. So obviously there's something beyond just the here. What is it? These are just questions we ask, and we can see that it is allowed, that from what I can see, it's just as I said, that an illusion is a pattern capable of reversal. It looks to be that life is in and of spirit here and now, that the pattern is already set, but it's just that our perception doesn't allow for it. That's why Mrs. Eddy said it's all an illusion. This is why we look up what does it mean that there's an illusion? And we talked about it before, but I just brought along the definition. Where an illusion then is an action of mocking. It's a state or fact of being intellectually deceived or misled. It's a misapprehension. It is a hallucination. It's a pattern capable of reversal. So therefore, what we can see is that we are limited to our present system of reference. If we're going out from the human system of reference, from the Adam dream, then we're seeing the real pattern in reverse. But if we go out from the divine system of reference, we will see the pattern as it is. It's just different states and stages of consciousness. This is why we want to behold in science the perfect man. We want to see the world as mind sees the world, as spirit sees the world, as soul sees the world, as principle, life, truth, and love sees the world. Now, we know that what is happening in mathematics can very well just be going on within the mental realm, but at least it shows that there is an impact on the scientists to go from a physical explanation to a more mental explanation, and then they'll come into the higher spiritual explanation, won't they? It's a lifting off of the restraints of matter, where what we work with is spiritual mathematics. So the Christ idea is presenting to us what we are as idea, and therefore it is taking away, therefore, the laws of a physical universe of being just three-dimensional to the physicist. It takes them into mathematics, which is the mental realm, doesn't it? Mathematics are just symbols for the mental realm, and this is what they're discovering in the mental realm, that there are other dimensions. But eventually that mental realm will drop off and they'll evolve into the spiritual realm of life in and of spirit and what it is to live in and of the spiritual world. So we want to see that they're evolving, aren't they? Out of a deeply physical explanation into a more mathematical explanation, and finally they will come into a spiritual explanation that we have, where we see that mind's creation is already intact in the fourth dimension of spirit. It's spiritual, it's not physical or mental, and in that realm we behold only the perfect pattern of God. And it's just a question of perception. It's there, we just don't see it. And that is why I always like, you know, that statement then, which then comes alive. We all quote it so often, that where Mrs. Eddy said that Jesus beheld in science the perfect man, or we could say that Jesus beheld in science the perfect mind pattern, we could say, or Jesus beheld in science the perfect man who appeared to him where sinning mortal man appears to mortals. And then this perfect man, the Savior, saw God's own likeness, and this correct view of man healed the sick. So therefore, we see that within our study of science itself, we change our standpoint, we change our way of looking at things, and we encounter the higher pattern. We encounter the pattern as it is. You hear that change of standpoint always going on in Mrs. Eddy's writings. Here she talks about change belief. A change in human belief changes all the physical symptoms. We know that, don't we? And determines a case for better or for worse. When one's false belief is corrected, truth sends a report of health over the body. So she shows that it's just a question of states and stages of consciousness. And she says that it's that we see the way we see on the human realm because of education. That's why she says we need spiritual education in the categories to see the world differently, don't we, than from the human system of reference. So she says selfishness and sensualism are educated in mortal mind by thoughts ever recurring to oneself, by conversation about the body, and by the expectation of perpetual pleasure or pain from it. And this education is at the expense of spiritual growth. If we array thought in mortal vestures, it must lose its immortal nature. If we look to the body for pleasure, we find pain. For life, we find death. For truth, we find error. For spirit, we find its opposite matter. Then she says, now reverse this action. Look away from the body into truth and love, the principle of all happiness, harmony, and immortality. Hold thought steadfastly to the enduring, the good, and the true, and you will bring these into your experience proportionally to the occupancy of your thoughts. And then again, it's all a question of changing our standpoint to see the fourth dimensional pattern of the divine mind as it is. She says, fixing your gaze on reality supernal, you will rise, see a sense of rising, to the spiritual consciousness of being, even as a bird which has burst from the egg and prings its wings for a skyward flight. So she's saying we're at, as Paul says, from the human system of reference of the second record of creation, we're seeing the pattern darkly. But when we go out and fix our gaze on the divine system of reference, it looks like we rise in consciousness. We take on a higher state of consciousness, and therefore we can see the image as it is. So that is how we can look at dimensional thinking today. So important that we culture our consciousness in the dimensions, so we just don't take a consciousness of the Christian Science level and reduce it through reductionism to nothing but the Christian Science level and then blow it up, you see. Or in dimensional thinking from our subject, we don't just reduce it to the absolute Christian Science level and say there's nothing but the absolute Christian Science and blow that up. or reduce being to just the divine science level as nothing but the divine science level and generalize that as the only thing going on, and so on. Dimensional reasoning and thinking along the four levels of spiritual consciousness allows consciousness to rise from the 5,000-year period to the 6,000-year period to the 7,000-year period into the 8,000-year period, where consciousness then is at one with the infinite one, and we go through the from the irrational, through the rational, to the irrational, through books and past books into being itself, through science and past science into the realm of science itself, which is an experience of life in and of spirit. And we know, as I said now, that every level of consciousness takes on another phenomena in another form. And then again, what we see and what I've just shown is not what we teach, but it's showing the impact on the physicists, huh? That they then are coming into a more mental realm of mathematics that seems to be bringing them the sense of extra dimensionality. And then, as I say, they will be impelled into the realm of spirit and into the realm of the dimensions of spirit. Okay. So then, with that sense of dimensionality that is going on within the realm of spirit, God, we then see that not only on every dimension, from the levels of the four levels of spiritual consciousness, of science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science, does being take on many forms, yet still remain that one being. We also see that the laws of being take on many forms, yet still remains the laws. And the logic within the levels take on many forms, yet still remain the logic of the levels. So within our study of that, of the one being, that holistic being that appears in many different forms, yet still remains that one being, we want to begin our laws, study of laws. And here we can see then that one law, which is on the level of science itself, is really that law which includes all other laws. So now we can see in thinking in dimensions that that law appears in different forms on different levels, yet still remains the law of God. So, therefore, one sees then on the level of science itself, we have that law of infinite being, or we could call it that law of infinite self-reflection. And we have this reproduced on page 78 in the study aid, or I have it also in the handout that I gave on the study questionnaire. We can see then that law on the level of science itself really is that law of self-reflection, that law of self-similarity, where being is always restructuring being. A being is being its own infinite being. So on that level, where the phenomenon then is that mind is being its own infinite mind, or spirit is being its own infinite spirit, or soul is being its own infinite soul, or principle, life, truth, and love are being their own infinite principle, life, truth, and love, that on that level, that being its own infinite, that's the constant, we will say, and therefore that constant of being its own infinite is called the law of infinite being, or as Max says, the law of capital self-reflection. And that governs the phenomenon on that level. But when principle God says, I have an idea, and I have a universal idea, that I present myself as the spiritual universe, first on divine science, we say, well, therefore, what is the law in governing the spiritual universe as idea? And therefore, that law that principle God appears as when governing the phenomena of the universe, of spirit, in the fourth dimension of spirit. Therefore, we see that that law is the law of divine self-organization, that the cybernetic law of input, process, output, feedback of the word Christ, Christianity, and science, that law of the closed loop, that law of a closed system, that law of the infinite self-containment of being, that nothing goes out, is outside of being. The only thing going on in being is God presenting what it is as idea and taking away the physical explanation and the mental explanation, just leaving the spiritual explanation. Therefore, that is such then that that law of the level of divine science, that law of self-organization, appears then on the level of absolute Christian science, where the phenomena now is ideas, or we could say ideational man. So principle God first presents, as we know now, itself as a universe, divine science, and then more details of itself as idea man, as a calculus of ideas. And therefore, because the phenomena has changed, that we're dealing with the infinite individualities of that principle in a calculus of ideas held together in the bonding of love, that they aren't separated, they're held together by the infinite reflection of love there, that therefore that calculus of ideas therefore is governed by the law of spontaneity. Spontaneously these calculations occur. But we know on that level that there are variations of the law of spontaneity. That on that level we have, therefore, the word is absolute Christian science. We have a law for the Christ in absolute Christian science, a law for the Christianity in absolute Christian science, and the law of science at absolute Christian science. There are different aspects here. We can see on the level of divine science, the four is only one law, isn't it? The law of divine self-organizing. You didn't ask me, why isn't there a law for the word at divine science or a law for the Christ at divine science? You just accepted it, huh? Why isn't there a law of the word at divine science that's separate from self-organizing? If we have here on the level of absolute Christian science an overall law of spontaneity, and then we have the law of the word and the law of the Christ and the law of Christianity and the law of science, but on divine science, we don't talk about a specific law of the word of divine science under the category of self-organization, or we don't talk about a specific law of the Christ on divine science, or a specific law of Christianity, or Christian or science. Why? When we do it, absolute Christian science and Christian science. See, again, it's question. We don't want to just accept that okay, that's what it says, and I accept it. But we say, why? On every level, we always should see that it comes from the higher and it takes on a different form than the higher, and then question it. Otherwise, we are scientists and we're accepting the subject because Max said so or Mrs. Dorley said so, and they have their authority on the textbook. But being a scientist, we want to know why that the law of science itself appears as it does. Why the law of divine science is just appearing as it does. Why these laws appear as they do. That's the scientist in us. So therefore, why is there just the law of divine self-organization? Why is it divided into the four? And without just looking at it passively. All right. It has something to do with oneness. Very good, Mary Jane. Mm-hmm. And what might you think it has to do with oneness? The four together? Good, Bill. Uh-huh. So it's a fourfold process of oneness, isn't it? That is a system that is in a fourfold operational process of oneness, of out of itself, through itself, as itself, and for itself. It's a rule of oneness, an operational sense of oneness. Dave?
Well, they more or less answered the question. you just have self-operation includes the four, and every time you go to another level, it's like putting a stronger microscope and you're looking, what are those four?
Good. Okay. That's very good. Do you see? It's nice, isn't it? That's a good example that science is under the lens, isn't it? We never lose in our spiritual realm the standpoint of science. It's all those levels are science, 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 science. Either divine science, absolute Christian science, or Christian science. So Dave is saying quite rightly, it's as if the science level, it's like a screen here, that the science level is the screen, and we just pull down first the divine science level, and we put it first of all under the microscope, and as a first layer, isn't it, so to speak, or level, and we look at its phenomenon, which is the universe, isn't it? And absolute Christian science is looking then with a little stronger microscopic lens, so to speak, and you're seeing more details, aren't we? And Christian science, even more details. This certainly is what St. John saw and showed us, that he saw that out of heaven comes, first of all, divine science, which is a city four square, an operational sense of oneness. And as a word, Christ, Christianity, and science, that's how Mrs. Eddy defined that realm of divine science as as a city that lieth four square. But he also said, and he measured the wall thereof. That's measuring is going after the details, isn't it? So it shows that within that closed system, a dimensional, that holistic dimensional system in that fourth dimensional spirit, it is open to infinite calculations, infinite combinations, infinite restructuring, absolute Christian science, more details. So the law takes on another form because the lens of science has gone in and looked at what's going on in the fourfold process in more detail, isn't it? It's very good. So therefore, that's why the phenomenon is different. But it helps to question, doesn't it? And we want to do that all the time, question, 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 so that when we have a problem and somebody says to us, well, take it back to the system. And we say, no, I've got a problem. You help me with it, you see. And the practitioner says, well, I think it's much better if you try to help yourself to begin with and take it back to what you know about the system. If you still... the problem doesn't yield, then call, huh? But naturally, one always hopes that one can work these things out oneself. That's the greater method. And so when we take something back to the system, we struggle with the system, don't we? And so it's when we understand the logic and of the reasoning of these laws and why they appear as they do in the form that they appear, then we're happy with ourselves. We've reasoned it out systemly intrinsic, and we don't have to say, well, Max said, or I found it in the study aid. Very, very good. That was excellent. All right, so now we come to the law of absolute Christian science, and it's the overall level law of spontaneity, because the next impulse is that out of divine origin, spontaneously, instantaneously, comes the idea. The idea is free of time and space. Those are the words that one uses that are as free as time and space as you can say. Something that comes spontaneously, instantaneously, there's hardly any other words that are so direct as those words. That's where language gets very difficult. But anyhow, it comes forth as the word, as the law of the divine impulsion, the law of the divine success mechanism. That idea comes spontaneously forth, and it's already programmed for success. And as the Christ, it comes forward as the law of individualization. It's infinitely individualized, and it is adapted to a specific situation. The idea that comes spontaneously forth, that's program for success, and it comes, that idea that has spontaneously come forth, that is already programmed for success, and is individually adapted to a specific situation according to the law of individualization. Now we say, well, can that idea be lost in the fourth dimension of spirit, in that spiritual realm? We say, oh no, that idea is eternalized and maintained, that life the Father maintains it and love the Mother cherishes it through life always providing that idea with the abundancy of the ideas of mind and the abundance of the ideas of spirit and the abundance of the ideas of soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And the Mother always cherishes it, always cares for it in seeing that love never loses sight of loveliness. And then in science, the law of pre-established perfection just says, oh, well, that idea which has come forth as a success and that has been infinitely individualized and adapted to a specific situation and that is maintained by life and cared for by love, anyhow, that idea is already exist in pre-established perfection. Its perfection is already now. The future is now, huh? It always has been perfect. It is coming forth to show forth its perfection, its pre-established perfect pattern. And on the level of Christian science, according to the law of causality, that perfect idea which exists in pre-established perfection comes forward according to the law of divine causality, according to the law of creativity. It comes forth as an idea in mind. It is developed by spirit. It is identified by soul. It is governed by principle. It lives within the system, and it has its fulfillment in the system according to the law of creativity. And that idea that comes forth is a subject then to the law of translation and retranslation. Principle is always presenting what that idea is as perfect. If we accept the perfect idea, if we accept that we are the perfect idea, then that idea is established and understood. If we resist it, then the retranslation occurs, taking us from a physical explanation through a mental explanation to a spiritual explanation. Then that process, healing process, takes place through the translation and reformation, and then we see that idea is the pure reflection of God, which is as big as principle mind itself, identifying with the principle, reflecting the principle, and reflecting every other idea in its infinite reflection. And we see then that that idea is just a structural pattern of mind in the realm of love, and that's where you get the fourth dimension of spirit. It exists in that fourth dimension of a spiritual dimension, not human dimensions, and therefore it is always subject to the omne action of principle. They're beautiful, aren't they?